scripture are familiar with. Almost a lot of people know this verse. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And so this is something that is very serious and has a lot of depth to it that we should be considerate of. For example, in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8 and 9, God lets us know the chasm between the way we might think versus the way He thinks. He says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." And so we can see there is a vast difference naturally in the way we think versus the way God thinks. Man is really unable to achieve such high thoughts of God on his own accord. However, God does beckon us to learn how to think like He thinks. And that's part of our challenge as we go through life. Man is just unable to do that. Yet God's plan is for us to be able to have this kind of thought process or think about just like the way He thinks about things. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 and 5, it says, "For our weapons, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not tools of our own design. They're not ways in which we can struggle, that the world struggles with things. Our arsenal is not His arsenal in this campaign we call life. They're not physical guns. It's not about an eye for an eye or anything like what man may come up with in this life." So he says, "But they are mighty in God," that is, the weapons that God has given us, "they're mighty in God to the pulling down of strongholds and casting down arguments," casting down. That has an idea of violently destroying and stomping and getting them out of us, all the imaginations this world builds for us to think about. "And every high thing that exalts itself against God, the knowledge of God." And it ends by saying, "bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." Even though I quickly went through those verses, there's a handout in the back that goes, and you can pick it up, that goes through that with a lot more elaboration. Please pick one up, take it with you as you leave today. Because this is very, very important that we understand what God is telling us here, especially at the end where He said, "bringing every thought into captivity to complete obedience to Christ." So how do we do that? How often, for example, do we let our thoughts go unchecked? One thing leads to another. It's kind of like a domino effect. Then another, and then another, and then another, and then another, and another, and then another, and then you say, "Ah! You want to pull your hair out." How often do we allow our thinking to go sour towards someone or toward an event that may have happened to you? The world is filled with examples where they can just ruin our day and the way we think about our day if we let them. How often do we let what we're dwelling upon in our thoughts spoil our mood or create into us a bad spirit? Well, I don't know about you, but I have to say, too often. Too often. We are creatures of thought, and we need to know and understand just how important what we think about really is. Here's an example. I've got to underline these, so again, pick up that handout on the back. In 1 Samuel chapter 18, it says, the young man, David, I say young, he was young at this point, he went wherever Saul, the King Saul, had sent him. He behaved wisely, and Saul set him over the men of war. So he made him his kind of general in charge. And he was accepted in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants. He was very, very popular. Now, it happened as they were coming home, when David was returning from the slaughter of the Philistines, that the women came out of all the cities of Israel singing and dancing, and they met King Saul with tambourines and all of the cities and with joy and musical instruments, and the women sang and they danced with joy and said, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. Then Saul turned his triumph, his joy, the celebration, all of a sudden it went south. He was very angry at the saying that they had said. They have ascribed to David 10,000 and to me only 1,000? Now, what more can he have but taking the kingdom from me? He understood where this was going. He could see how this was unfolding. And so verse 9 it says, and so Saul eyed David from that day forward. Young people, do you know what that means? He was eyeing David from that day forward. He was no longer his prince of Israel. He now had it out for him. And oh, did David suffer because of that. But Saul's thoughts went from victory to defeat in just one sweep of a song. And it grew. That sourness grew day by day. Till finally, it cost him his eternity. A simple little statement like that. Turn that around from victorious to horrible. You see, our thinking is really the purpose of man. And God wants us to understand just how much and how important it is what we think is so very important. For our heart, our soul, our mind is molded by the way we think, the way that we approach things, how we think about things. Romans chapter 8 and verse 29, for whom he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that we might be the firstborn among many brethren. So there, that is the what God predestined for us, to be conformed to the image of His Son. And so we should look and try to mimic and walk in the steps of our Lord. Yes, we will struggle. We will struggle with our thoughts our whole life. This is not something that just because someone has gray hair that they've got it mastered. If anything, it's worse as we grow older. And so there's going to be a struggle with our thoughts. Our battle and our warfare begins with our thoughts. Begins with our imagination, our attitudes, which are generated from our hearts. Oh, wait a minute. We just hit something there. Generated from our hearts. So what is it in our heart that can make our thoughts go south so quick? Our hearts hold what we have deposited in them. Or what we have allowed life to put in them. And so we have to know and examine and think and carefully remember, what is it that's in my heart to cause me to feel this way or react this way? Because if we do not examine our hearts, we're going to be in big trouble. Matthew chapter 15, verse 18 says, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, obviously, but then murders, really? Adulteries, yes. Fornications, yes. Theft, yes. False witness, yes. Blasphemies, yes. It goes on and on and on. What is it that's in our heart? There's where we must make the adjustments, and we must devote our heart 100% to being what God wants us to be. Christ said in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 18, he says, but those things that proceed from the heart, that's what comes. But then Luke says, a good man out of a good treasure, and the word treasure there, and the other translations put storehouses, what our heart is containing, the good treasure, what's stored in my heart, it will bring forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil storehouse of his heart will bring forth evil things. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what's the first thing that comes to my mind? Not good sometimes for me. I hope you understand. We all have got all of this stuff that the world has thrown at us, that the internet has thrown at us, or how people have treated us, that may not be good things in our heart. What we have deposited in our heart is what will come out. If we put in good, we're going to get good out. If we put in evil, we're going to get evil out. Programmers call that GIGO, garbage in, garbage out. So thus, we must always be examining and making certain that God has full reign and sovereignty, ruler, in our hearts. We're listening to Him. We're trying to please Him. We never lose sight of Him. We're trying to do what would make Him important or happy with us, not the world. It doesn't matter what the world thinks. And the sooner we divorce ourselves and our heart from this world and aspiring after things that make the world happy, the better off we will be. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave you. You see, because this, we're actually drilling down to the core of our hearts. What is it in the absolute middle of our heart? How we think, how we feel, how we react, how we respond to things, how we respond to others, how we interact with evil, those that try to do us harm. All of our reactions are coming from our heart, what we have put in and allowed to dwell there. In our very conversion to God, God put it this way, that we start anew. We are a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So from the very moment that we were baptized into Christ, if you did not look like understand that your baptism was a new birth, that you from that point forward, you are to become a new person. Then maybe you had the right wrong thing in your heart. And so we need to make certain that that's what was in our heart so that we can become new just like He intended it to be. Romans chapter 6, after explaining it in the first few verses of the chapter, verse 6 goes on and says, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him. The body of sin might be done away with, and that we should no longer be slaves of sin. So that's where it begins, and how to get some of that garbage out of our heart may be pretty hard. We all come with a lot of baggage. We all come with a lot of experiences in life, and some of those experiences may not do us well, especially our first impulses after we become a child of God. I have messed up so many times. Because the way I was raised, I mean, are they to blame? Nope. I'm to blame because I allowed such as that to control me in my heart. And so we've got to understand it is all about, it's not a pretense, it is not a game. This is something that we should be working on 24/7. It's just not putting on the church face and then taking it off when we leave. And when we let that mind, His mind, be in total control, the total driving force and motivation of who I am, then there will be awesome power that will come forth. Awesome. How do I know that? Well, we see in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 through 21, says, now to him who is able to do, that is God, that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. That is God telling us he wants to have the power in our life. And we need to let that power work in us. We must let our whole heart, our soul, our mind, our strength yield to his control. And when we let him have that kind of control in our heart, then that's what's going to come out of our mouth. That's what we're going to be thinking about, because he is in control. That includes our attitude. It will display love and kindness and tenderheartedness and forgiveness. It will include our tongue. It will be an instrument of joy and encouragement. Our lives will reek with the love of God. Our dependence upon him, not taking any joy or pride of anything we achieve, but it's him that people see. Our passion will be like Christ's passion displayed as he was seeking the lost. He went through a lot of troubles. He had thousands of people reject him. Thousands! Yet he kept on. Kept on. And he kept on. And when things were really looking bad, he just kept on doing what God wanted him to do, what it was all about. And so there was nothing that man could do to him to stop his mission, to interfere with his love for me. Then verse 21 says, now to him who is able. So when that power is displayed from verse 20, you know, the power that works in us, do we walk around and say, yeah, it's me, I did that? No. Now the world, that's the way the world behaves. No. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above, that's God doing that. To him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. That's a long time. So how are we doing with that? How am I doing with that? That is something we need to ask ourselves often. Are we being successful? How do I think? How do we think? How can I get that garbage out and let the powerful message and example of Christ in? Is that even possible? Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 12 says, for the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, if we want to compare it with physical things, piercing even the division of soul and spirit and of joint and marrow. And this word, this powerful word, is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Sometimes we just need to let God do open heart surgery on us. What's in my heart? Please, Lord, cut it out. Cut it out. Remove it from me. Let me live and radiate your glory. need his help. We need his help to discern his word, to distinguish, that is, judge the thoughts and intents of our heart. Romans 6 and verse 17, but God be thanked that though you were the slaves of sin, yet you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. So we were a slave. We were going by the world's instructions. And now we have obeyed from the heart to where now we serve our risen King, and long live this King forever. So, talking about man, it was a man who wrote Proverbs 23 and verse 7 when he says, as he thinks in his heart, so is he. The wise man so long ago. Man is made or unmade by what we allow ourselves to think and believe. In the household of thought, he procreates the offspring by which he flourishes or consumes himself. He could choose to build a heritage, a castle of joy, strength, and peaceful bliss. Or we can choose to drink the poison of despair that will bring us to naught and ruin. Our Creator has fashioned us to be filled with joy and peace. That's what He wants us to go through. That's how He wants us to behave. He wants our lives to be that way. By following His statutes, by following His instructions, we embrace the mind of God. Man is endowed, can be endowed with the divine righteousness. By following His statutes, we can radiate with the power of God, the confidence that the world will look at and say, well, you're weird. And your point? You're not seeing me, you're seeing Christ. And they thought He was really weird. We should consider that a badge of honor. But by neglecting His directive on how that we should think, man descends to a level below beast of the field. There are things that maybe you have seen and I have seen that man does that even the most vicious lions in Africa will not do. All because the things that we allow in our hearts. By neglecting His directive, our character becomes a foreign continent. His character becomes a foreign continent. I just can't make it there. Depression will devour our joy and our hope, and the pit of sorrow will become our eternal habitat. Between these two, the mind of God and the mind that the world would have us to have, are all kinds of levels of character. Now, we might be able to be up in the upper echelon of some of those good characteristics, but that's not good enough. God wants our whole heart, not just part of it. We decide daily to what degree that we will achieve or descend. Each of us must decide if we will make thoughts our master, or whether we will make our master our thoughts. Of all the beautiful tapestries of life that we may have observed, or maybe we have woven ourselves, and all the monuments of giants to men and to powers that be, they all begin with our thoughts. It begins and ends with our thoughts. The one who controls his thoughts controls his destiny. He is one that will yield to God. He is one that will unite with the mind of God. He is one that can see what man can become, even when surrounded and faced by all the ugliness and darkness of this world. He will shine as a beacon of light set on a hill. It is this one that will let God become his master of his life and the molder of his character. This man will have all, have in his house a house of gold, as his house, a house of gold, a dwelling place of peace. Brightness of God will shine through him, and the masses of humanity will be blessed through him. It all starts with our hearts and what we allow to be put in our hearts. And that's what will come out. This individual will be touched by none other, no one else, than the very hand of God. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, we need to pray. Make me that. You know what God says when we do? Absolutely! Absolutely! Yes! That's the right thing to ask! Let's get to work! That's exactly what he says. It all comes up to us. Whether we will let him do that heart surgery on us. Sometimes heart surgery is very painful. So be it. Let's let him have his way. You're not a child of God. You are a child of this world. And you are in this dark side of the world. And so we need to understand, what are we supposed to do to get out of it? Being aliens, strangers, without hope, without being separated from God. Well, it's very simple. God has already laid the plan. He's already won the battle. If we can get out of this world by believing in him, that is all in, I am in with you, Lord. Please make me, cause me to have the kind of heart that will repent and turn away from my sin and confess, make me one of yours and yours only. And I'm going to say, I belong to you, Lord, and none other. And then be baptized into Christ. When we're baptized into Christ, it looks to us like we're immersed in water. That's not what God's saying. That's not the point. We're being covered in the blood of Jesus Christ. And when we rise out of that watery grave of blood, we receive the salvation that only he can give. And he puts us in this very important place where all spiritual blessings are found, and that is in Christ. And then he opens the treasure chest. And that's not all on the screen. Do you want to be a child of God? Is it time? Is it the right time? Please, we'll sing this song to encourage you.